Amy, would you like to guess where Kathleen was hiding these psychic rods?
Welcome back to E-Crime,
a podcast full of delicious mysteries.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Caitlin.
And we are continuing our Irish adventure. Ooh. Our Irish venture.
Sorry, I'm trying to scoot closer to the microphone here.
Don't you hate it when you get played?
A playa gotcha.
A play of gotcha.
No, a playa.
Oh.
A playa gotcha.
I thought a gotcha was a game. We were having a play. A play of gotcha. Well, I hate it.
Me too. I hate being played.
Especially hate it when it involves money.
Or professionals.
Or professional money.
We're talking fraudsters.
We're talking fraudsters.
Irish fraudsters.
Tell us about
an Irish fraudster? Don't you do it. I saw you eating that microphone over there.
So why did you want to do fraud?
I just thought it was a cool topic. We've never covered fraudsters before.
Yeah, usually when you hear about true crime, you think about murder or kidnapping or both.
We barely do that.
Incorrect. I think we talk about that all the time.
And, you know, we covered a lot of heavy stuff with our relaunch in July. So I wanted to cover something that maybe didn't involve murder
or hopefully death.
My story does involve death, unfortunately.
Well, mine doesn't, so we'll end on a happier note.
Okay. All right, so I was excited about this case, though. I'm pretty sure that they had covered this on And That's Why We Drink. Because when I was reading it, I was like, that story sounds familiar. And they did a whole, like, slew of stories similar to this. But the story is just wacky.
Is it a wild ride?
It is a wild ride. And I think you're going to enjoy it.
I'm buckled in and I'm ready for the ride.
Okay. This story is about Kathleen. I hope her last name is pronounced Goliger.
I thought you were going to be like Peterson. Oh, no.
Oh, here we go. Kathleen Goliger? Goliger?
How do you spell?
G-O-L-I-G-H-E-R.
I think Goliger sounds right.
Goliger. Goliger.
Goliger.
Goliger.
No, not that.
Kathleen.
Kathleen.
She was born in 1898 in Belfast, Ireland.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
Yes. Pre-salad.
Pre-salad.
She was a medium.
Of course she was.
Not the only medium in her family either.
Like, was she medium? She was a medium.
Not medium-sized. She was a medium. She was the most powerful out of her family, but she was not the only one. She had three sisters. All of them were mediums. She had one brother and a brother-in-law that lived in their house with their father. Nothing I read about her mother. And they decided to make spiritualism the family business.
Yeah.
So they would hold seances in their home. They started out as private seances, didn't charge for them for a while. And then when Kathleen was 16, when Kathleen was 16, in 1914.
Oh, boy.
They received help from Dr. William Jackson Crawford, who was a lecturer in mechanical engineering at Queen's University. He wrote three books about the Goligers. They are called They're called The Reality of Psychic Phenomena, Experiments in Psychic Science, and Psychic Structures of the Goliger Circle. The Goliger Circle was what they called themselves.
This sounds like a cult.
It does.
Yeah. A little bit.
For the first 4 years, like I said, they didn't charge for the seances. During the seances, Kathleen would go into a trance and become the voice of the spirits.
And she was only 16.
Yes, but she had been doing this before then, too. 16 is when they got help from the doctor.
Okay. That sounds pretty young to be a professional medium.
Yeah. So, things like rappings, you know, like these kind of things, table levitations, and even some weirder things like ectoplasm would appear during seances. Like Ghostbusters like ectoplasm. Goo. Yep.
What color was it?
White, I'd assume.
White goo? Not clear goo?
No. So, Dr. Crawford was fascinated by the Goliger Circle and initially believed seances that they were holding were truly paranormal. And I guess all seances in general were, like, truly a paranormal thing. 100%.
They were real.
True.
Yeah.
However, after spending some time within the circle, he discovered something odd.
I'm not surprised.
It appeared after doing some experiments and taking flashlight photographs, Kathleen was seemingly hiding psychic rods, as he called them, that would levitate the table. These psychic...
So, psychic rods were really just regular rods to lift a table.
But upon further investigation of the psychic rods, he discovered that they were also the source of the ectoplasm, which he described as plasma. Still not clearing up what he saw.
Wait a second. A rod produces ectoplasm?
Amy, would you like to guess where Kathleen was hiding these psychic rods?
Is it on her person?
It is on her person.
Nope. I don't think I want to, because I think I know where it's going, and I don't want to talk about it.
Back in X-ray school, you would have referred to the place that Kathleen was hiding these psychic rods as the sexy time hole. Kathleen was hiding this ectoplasm and these psychic rods inside of her vagina.
Okay.
Oh dear.
All right. So,
but how I want to say these rods? The strength needed to lift a table from these
Wait,
rods.
Wait, they were still in her? No, this is impossible.
From the diagram I saw, like you.
There's a diagram? I need to see that. Let me see this.
It was
diagram.
Like, here, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
There's no way. It looked like there was a picture from underneath the table where you could see that there was something like under her skirt inside of her person.
No. No. You can't fit rods in there. No. It's not like it's an endless void. There's an end to it. You can't. This is an implausible story. This is highly improbable. Where's the diagram?
I'm trying to find which website I got it from. I got a lot of information from different websites.
What? Yeah, I have that on the... I don't need to save that.
Yes, so in the picture you can see there is a rod levitating a table. Coming from between her legs. The Kegels she was doing.
No.
Must have been quite impressive.
I don't think.
You don't believe her?
No.
Well, it's more plausible that she was lifting the table with psychic rods hidden inside her person, or that actual spirits were doing it.
I'm confused as to why people didn't notice rods coming out of her.
I think they usually did it, like, in the dark.
Well, of course.
With candlelight.
Right.
So maybe there was some sort of quick change.
Who suggested this, I wonder? It was like, hey, Kathleen, we need to levitate this table with this rod. Anywhere you can think of, we can put it.
So I will kind of touch on something similar to that later on.
This sounds like, child abuse. I'm just gonna go ahead and say that.
Well?
Is producing ectoplasm from her lower orifices?
Yep.
I think, I'm not gonna say what I think.
So, Dr. Crawford's experiments were wildly criticized because he didn't really have any controls for the experiments, and he also had a lack of precautions against fraud. But he was not the only person to investigate the circle and discover some fraudulent activity. They basically told him, they were like, Dr. Crawford, you got tricked. And he was like, I did get tricked. And unfortunately, he committed suicide on July 30th, 1920. People don't know why, but they suspect maybe it's because he had been
Duped.
Duped, yes.
Oh, sorry, I just punched the microphone.
So, July 30th, is this coming Thursday? He will have been gone from this world 100 years this Thursday that we're recording.
Interesting.
Not when you're listening. It's currently July, I don't know, it's 24th or something.
It's the 25th.
Okay, well,
either way.
Next Thursday is July 30th. W.W. Carrington also observed the seances in 1916 and 1920 and reported that in the beginning he witnessed genuine phenomena, but not in the later ones. After Dr. Crawford's death, physicist Edmund Edward Fournier Daube.
Wow, that's quite a name.
Investigated 20 seances from the circle. Daube. I have no idea how to pronounce his name. Dr. D found no ectoplasm or levitation during the seances and thus concluded that there was no evidence of fraud. On July 22nd, 1921, also just passed, he observed Kathleen holding the table with her foot. So, psychic rods no longer...
She should have been doing that from the beginning. You do not need to put anything anywhere.
He also witnessed the ectoplasm Dr. Crawford had talked about, but he found that it was not plasma, like Dr. Crawford said. It was actually just muslin. Which, if you don't know what muslin is, it's cloth. It's not...
sticky? Or gooey?
Or...
liquid?
Ectoplasm-like. And... it makes it so much more gross that she was hiding that inside her person, and then when she took it out, people were like, ectoplasm.
That's disgusting.
Because ectoplasm is, from, like, the movies that I've seen, is nothing like muslin cloth, which is like cheesecloth.
I don't like anything about this story.
So, Daube wrote to Harry Houdini himself... You're not more impressed that this man knew Harry Houdini well enough to write him a letter?
Yeah, sure, I'll be impressed. I don't. I mean, maybe it's just because that's the least impressive part of this story. Okay.
His letter said, "Quote: I must say, I was greatly surprised at Crawford's blindness, which I don't understand that because you were also tricked by them." He concluded that Dr. Crawford had been duped by the circle and the family was involved in, quote, mediumship trickery, unquote.
Mediumship trickery.
Daube published a book called The Goliger Circle in 1922 about the trickery, which caused Kathleen to retire from public seances and observations the same year. Some people have speculated that the seances may have been real in the beginning, but as Kathleen aged towards 1920, her abilities may have declined, which... in the article I read, said that that was kind of common for mediums. That sometimes their
connection... It also connection... sounds like it's common for people who have been found out and then don't have any more tricks up their sleeve.
In 1926, Kathleen married S.G. Donaldson, and in 1933, he went through 5 seances with her and made a report in Psychic Science. So that kind of makes it sound like he just married her to get famous.
Yep.
He used the new infrared camera technology that had just come about, and only... This says only spas were reported. I don't know what that's supposed to say, but it's not spas.
Only spas?
What autocorrected to spas? I think it was supposed to say rappings.
Like, well,
the
not...
tapping noises? Not anywhere close to spas. However, photographs of ectoplasm not from Kathleen's sexy time hole were taken at all 5 sittings. Where that ectoplasm was coming from, I don't know.
Say
is
that,
she duping her husband?
Again. Say that part again.
So her husband
took
some pictures and discovered some ectoplasm in the pictures. But they were not coming from Kathleen. They were like suspended in darkness is what the article said.
I think that's this picture right here.
The one where she's barfing it out?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, I saw that onto a trumpet.
She looks so sad. Oh, the one where it's just, yeah, I don't know if that's the actual picture or if that's just a picture of, like, you know, they're it like, here's like ectoplasm. Well, it is. It's muslin cloth.
But then why are they still talking about ectoplasm?
Because it was 1920.
News hadn't traveled fast enough, I guess.
Photographs from her seances were unfortunately destroyed in World War II, and Kathleen hasn't been heard of since 1962, but I'm pretty sure she is dead, because she would be 122 if she was still alive.
Yeah, she's probably gone.
So the photos that we will be posting on Instagram and the photos that Amy and I are currently talking about were ones that were not destroyed, sort of like ones that were kept safe from the bombing in World War II.
Yeah. They're weird.
They're very weird.
So look out for those. Okay, well, that was really weird, and I didn't like any part of it. So, thank you.
Oh!
Sorry. Thank you for making me, very uncomfortable. let's, lighten the mood with some snacks, please. Okay. Irish snacks.
Some Irish snacks. It's snack time.
Oh, here I go. One, two, and we got chippies.
Prawn cocktails. Light and melty.
I am very interested as to find out how they are light and melty.
This bag is very light.
It doesn't feel like you're getting your money's worth.
How many kilojoules am I getting? 2,268 kilojoules. That's quite a lot.
Who knows? I don't know. I don't know what that means.
There's no MSG in here. That's nice.
Oh, good.
Packaging is very bright.
Mm-hmm. Let me see. Skips.
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 Skips. Prawn cocktail. I have no idea if this is a chip or a puff? Cereal snack or...
I feel like it would be a puff. If they're melty, I feel like they have to be a puff.
Still not sure what they are. They look like baby teethers. You know, those little... You may not have seen them, but they're like shaped like little surfboards. And they're basically...
Oh, yeah, I know what those are.
Yeah.
The things that they just kind of suck on and yeah. They disintegrate. Okay. They look like little shells.
Yeah.
Can you do it? You're usually pretty good at this one. There it is.
Rocket launch.
Almost fell off. All right.
Yeah, they're like little scoops. They smell okay. They definitely smell fishy. Like, what are these made of? Rice? Maybe they're puffed rice. Are you going to eat some?
Yeah, I'm just looking at them.
Adoring them lovingly.
So this was the very first flavor that they had.
Ever?
Mm-hmm. Skips? Of these Skips, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I guess, I thought Skips was like a brand, but these are Skips.
Oh, what brand are they?
Skips. Maybe that's all they make.
Okay.
These are Skips. They are the brand of Skips. Quality guarantee. Mail to free post snacks. So I guess free post?
Okay.
I don't know.
They got the wrong address if they were trying to get free post snacks.
Yeah.
They got Amy's house.
Okay.
Ready? Oh, they are melty.
Yeah.
Like a baby teether. These are shrimp flavored baby teethers.
I don't like this.
You don't like that?
No.
You and I are on a different wavelength today.
Yeah, I don't like that. That's tastes like, I think it's the cocktail part that I don't like.
It tastes like ketchup.
Yeah, I don't like it. Look at.
I think they're lovely.
They're all right. I'm gonna eat this one because it's little, but I'll give it a second try.
They remind me a little bit of Bugles, like ketchup flavored Bugles.
Yeah, they're definitely melty. They're soft.
Mm-hmm.
They're silky. I don't hate them. I also don't love them. I'm gonna give them a 6.
I'll give them an 8. I like these.
Wow. Okay.
I like these.
Well, I'm gonna send them back on to you then.
Thank you.
Alright, what's next?
I gotta finish off these.
Oh man, you took a bunch. So they're supposed to fizz and melt on your tongue.
Oh, they do.
What else does that?
Pop rocks?
I feel like if you suck on like a cheese doodle.
Mm-hmm.
Not a cheese doodle, but the puff.
The balls?
Or the puffed version.
Yep.
They do indeed. That. It's called the tickle pickle.
What's called a tickle pickle?
It's a crunch melt experience. I think it's the
idea of the crunchy and melty.
Yeah, I think it's called tickle pickle.
Okay, that's fun. All right, here I go. Oh, is this something?
Yes.
I finally picked it.
What is it? Oh, is it strawberry puff?
Yes, things? The squashies. Yes.
Squashies.
Raspberry and milk. So, if you were an OG listener, during our German episodes, we tried their version of strawberry puffs. They were terrible. American strawberry puffs are much better. So sorry, Germany. These are raspberry and milk. Ross told me that he thinks that these are going to be a little bit better. But no guarantees. So.
What are they called? Squashies?
Squashies. Drumstick squashies. Amy and I love strawberry puffs.
But these are raspberry, right?
Right.
Oh, this is... Okay.
Oh, are they going to be like taffy?
I think so.
They smell good. They smell very cream-like. Oh, no.
Oh, can you do it? Oh, good thing you have incredibly long arms. Oh, I got one.
I got you.
She flicked the bag off the table, but I got one.
I flung her one in the bag.
I like this. The table. I like the...
It's pretty.
I haven't tasted it yet.
They
but
smell
I like,
good?
They do smell good.
They're squishy?
And I like the squish, cut? The squishy squashiness.
Oh,
what happens?
No, it's not taffy.
I
these
like
are
these.
Good.
I like these.
Mm.
They're mild.
Mm-hmm. But they're still a little tangy.
Well, I had the whole cream side.
Oh.
Maybe the... Yeah. I think I like these.
They have a marshmallow consistency.
Yeah.
Not quite a gummy.
Can you throw me another one?
Mm-hmm. Nice catch. Wow, that was smooth. These
and
are good.
And I think squashies are the exact right name for this.
That's very true. I think we've hit a winner with these. This may be our first winner. 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I think so, 9.
I love this texture.
Me too. I wonder if they have different flavors.
They don't get stuck in your teeth?
No.
But they're still, like, delightfully squishy.
And chewy. Yeah, these are really good. What other flavors do they have?
I'm looking it up now.
I'm on the website right now if you don't want to do that.
Oh.
Okay, so the original is raspberry and milk, which is what we got.
Mm-hmm. They have a blue and pink one. What is that
They have a bubblegum one, which I don't want to taste.
Oh, no, I don't either.
They have one called Refreshers.
I see that. They look like Starbursts.
I think they are strawberry and lemon.
Well, that sounds nice.
Yeah. They have something called Refresher Chews.
They have a sour cherry and apple.
I really like these.
They are... sweet, but they're not, you know, sometimes when you eat a gummy, it like makes your belly hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It's so sweet.
They're these not are, that sweet.
These are a nice, like, I could eat a little handful of these after dinner and be like, oh, nice.
Yeah.
I can imagine, like,
they're light.
Having these popcorn in a movie.
Oh, that, these are a great movie theater snack.
We should pick that bag up off the floor.
We will, but not now because I'm too lazy.
Okay.
All right. That was a winner.
That was a winner.
If you have the opportunity to go get some squashies, do
get
it.
Yourself some, and we need to find a place to order these for ourselves,
yeah,
for our movie
more.
Nights.
We need more.
So we got some time. You want to do another snack? Because we have plenty.
Sure.
What am I going to reach to? I know there's one bag of chips. Where is it? I'm just going to, is it here?
You want to do two?
No. I'm pushing that off to
the
side.
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't want to do two of them.
All right, here we go. Oh, no, I don't want that one. Here, we'll just try this one. I've given up on that. These are the thing that I'm pretty sure are going to taste absolutely horrid, but we have the squashies to redeem it. Oh, Amy, we've reached the time where we eat the glucose barleys.
Oh, dear, I'm not going to enjoy this at all.
But maybe you should just lick it because it's got malted barley in it.
Oh, gosh, this is going to be bad.
Oh, nope. Here, I got another one. I got another one.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe you should just lick it.
Okay. All right.
These look
so
like
these
cough
drops.
These
are legitimately called glucose barley.
That's not... We thought it was maybe some weird name, but no, it's the flavor.
They look like Werther's Originals.
They smell like cough drops.
Okay,
like
so
Ricola cough drops.
They're wrapped up in, like, the hard candy wrapper, like a cough drop or, like, a Werther's Original. Which, if it was a Werther's Original, I'd be happy about this. It seems like they ran out of ideas for the name, so they were just like, let's just pick the first two ingredients.
But the bad thing is... glucose
and barley.
Like, the other options that we had for this were, like, chocolate orange.
And we got glucose barley? And we got barley.
Glucose barley. What was the... I think there was That's a third disgusting. One.
Wait, what color is yours?
Yellow?
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. Yellow
too. Is the other one glucose barley?
Yeah. Oh, it's oat field hard candy. These hard candies make for the perfect after-dinner treat. Enjoy either glucose barley or chocolate orange. And we got glucose barley.
I don't think these are perfect for an after-dinner treat. I think the squashies are perfect for an after-dinner treat.
My prediction is that these would be what I would want if I wasn't feeling too good and my throat was hurting.
So a cough drop.
Some tea and a glucose barley.
I don't think I would want this in any situation.
Well, let's just lick it and find out. Mine's stuck to the wrapper, so I'm just going to lick it. It tastes like a cough drop. Without the medicine, like a Ricola cough drop. Which, I did go to school with a German exchange student. Or maybe she was just from Germany. I didn't know her very well. But she said that...
That's disgusting.
People eat Ricola, or at least she did, like this. Like an after lunch treat. She would bring them in her lunchbox and just, like, eat a Ricola. Because there was no medicine in it. It was just herbal.
This is disgusting.
This is a cough drop.
That's a negative one.
It's a lemon Halls. I mean, it's not disgusting.
It's not disgusting.
I don't revolt at it, but I'm not going to eat it. Why would this
be in a snack crate? This would be in a medicine crate.
I'm going to give it, like, a 2.
I'm giving that a negative one.
Because it tastes fine. It doesn't taste bad, but I'm not going to be like, oh, give me one of those glucose barleys.
Ugh.
Should we eat another squashy to redeem it?
They're on the ground.
You need me to go get it? Since I can get up quieter from the table?
So have you ever heard, this is on an off topic, although not super off topic, because how many did you get? You need more. So in my next story, we talk something about tigers. So I'm going to pretend like this is. So I went on Amazon to try to find where we could get squashies.
Mm-hmm.
And it redirected me to Amazon Smile, which is, have you ever heard of that?
No.
So it's like you buy something off Amazon and they donate to a charity.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, it's really nice. It says they've given away like almost $1 trillion. Like 990-something million.
Okay.
So I started to, it said, what are you interested in? So I clicked pets and animals.
We're not interested in pets and animals. We're interested in squashies.
Well, it wants me to select an organization to donate to.
Okay. Yeah.
So
I was like, what?
I got really distracted. So I clicked on pets and animals. Do you know what the fifth organization that they want me to choose is?
What?
Big Cat Rescue. It's from Tampa, Florida. Big Cat Rescue. Let me tell you who I'm not donating to.
Carol Baskin.
No. I'm really mad that we can't get these things more easily acceptable.
Me too. I wonder
if we could get them at For the Love of Chocolate.
Or like the World Market, maybe?
Yeah.
Or maybe Ross will just have to send us some?
That Ross? Sounds like a better option.
Ross? We're going to need more. Don't send us the bubblegum ones.
Yeah, send us as many as you can find. We'll pay you. I'll Venmo you some money.
Man.
So good.
I'm happy with that decision.
Which decision?
To eat squashies.
Oh, yeah, me too.
That random decision that my hand made.
Yeah.
All right, Amy. Let me be frauded.
Let me tell you. Here's another Irish name.
Is it more Irish than McGinnis?
No. I think this is second tier Irish. Okay. Briefnet O'Brien. And I'm just guessing that's how you say his name. B-R-E-I-F-N-E. Brefney?
Okay, give it to me one more time.
B-R-E-I-F-N-E.
F-N-E. Let's see what Brid Ellis says on the pronunciation of Briefney. Brefna.
That was close.
I was really thinking it was going to be like Brian.
Brian O'Brien?
Because that's really Brefna. What those Irish names are like.
So this is Brefna O'Brien. He was an Irishman convicted of fraud in 2014.
Wait, we have an opposing pronunciation. Breffni. Breffna? Breffni? Whatever you prefer.
Yeah. I guess it's like, yeah, I don't know. Kirsten or Kirsten.
Kirsten.
O'Brien was a high-status socialite that was the brains behind a Ponzi scheme that targeted his friends and school buddies.
School buddies? How old was he?
He's older. Oh. But I mean, like, college friends. Oh. College buddies. Oh, okay. I should have put college buddies.
Friends from college.
A Ponzi scheme is essentially when somebody gets rich people to invest in their, quote, business.
Oh.
He collects all kinds of money from these investors and pays them in dividends that from money that he collects from other investors. Yes. So it's just like this washing machine of money.
Yes. Yep.
And it makes it seem like this business is really profitable and thriving and paying all these dividends to these investors, but really he's just shuffling money around. O'Brien was taking millions from his friends as an investment and using that money to live quite lavishly during the Celtic Tiger economy. See, it all ties together. That happened in the Republic of Ireland from the late 1990s to the mid-2000s. This was a state of large economic growth in Ireland, and then that was met by a pretty severe downfall due to a property bubble. Do you know what a property bubble is?
No, I don't.
I'm learning so much from these things.
Me too. This has been very, like, historical and informational.
Yeah, you're welcome, listeners. Now you know what not yet. You'll know what a property bubble is in a second. Of course, this is my interpretation of a property bubble. I don't know that I'm 100% correct, but this isn't a property bubble podcast, so I'm letting it slide. So I think what I understand is it's a period of time when, due to high demand, real estate prices are driven really high.
Okay.
So a lot of people want to buy houses, so people are selling them for higher money. But then when they buy the houses, nobody can pay for the price that they've paid because they were super inflated because of demand.
Okay.
So then everybody goes into, like, foreclosure.
Okay.
And the prices plummet. So he's kind of taken, this is before all that, this is like the roaring 20s before the Great Depression. He drove an Aston Martin DB7, which I didn't know what that was, but I looked it up. It's a $140,000 car. That's an expensive car, right?
Especially for that time.
Right. He owned a mansion in a place called Glenageary.
Okay.
That's right. An apartment on Vico Road in Dalkeys, which is a seaside resort near Dublin, and a golf resort in Barbados. And he had almost 100 different bank accounts.
That's a lot of bank accounts to keep track of.
In 2008, after things weren't quite adding up to his investors, he finally admitted that he had been swindling his friends out of millions of euros and often referred to his investors as suckas. Rude, right? O'Brien also convinced several of his family members and friends that he was involved with some international businessmen, was dealing in insurance, and had dealings with foreign properties like the G Tower in Dubai. I think it's that really tall tower.
Oh.
I think. Overall, he was trying to make it seem like he had all these connections to wealthy operations, but in reality, he had no money to his name.
Oh.
All the money that he had was basically somebody else's.
Right. You know? Just being washed over and over again.
He even created letters, emails, banking statements, and other documents to support his claims, but that was found all to be false. After this admission, he was investigated by the Garda Síochána Fraud Squad.
Okay,
Hello, the Fraud Squad?
Amy and Caitlin, Fraud Squad.
Do we have a Fraud Squad?
In America?
Yeah.
Oh, probably not.
It's probably called, like, the Fraud Department or something stupid.
The Department of Fraudulent Activity.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. When you have the opportunity to be called the Fraud Squad. Anyway, the Garda Síochána Fraud Squad, and was subsequently arrested. Yep, that's the end of that sentence.
Okay.
His mother, of all people, posted bail for him. But he was eventually ended, but he eventually ended up pleading guilty to 14 of the 45 charges against him, totaling up to over 10 million euros, and even more money was owed to, like, creditors. He had some bad credit. His credit's probably
with 100 bank accounts.
He's never gonna recover from this. On October 8th, 2017, O'Brien was sentenced to 7 years in prison in Mountjoy Prison, which sounds nice, but I doubt it is. He did attempt to appeal his sentencing in 2005, but he was denied and was declared as bankrupt in 2016. Only about 420,000 euros has been collected from his assets, and unfortunately, none of his victims will get any of that money. O'Brien was released early from prison in 2018 on a trial basis. So, you know, we talked in a previous episode about how people just, like, get suspended sentences. Or, right. Just, it's like, we're going to let you out of jail and see how you do. That's weird. Seems like it should be more cut and dry. Like, just, okay.
You're guilty. Your sentence,
and then you're done.
Here's your sentence.
Basically, if he's been released early, but if he gets into any trouble or causes any issues, he's put right back in jail.
Yeah, like probation.
And lawyers have come forward stating that he is now surviving on welfare checks while he's out of prison, totaling about 188 euros a week.
That's not very much.
That's not very much. And another interesting fact that I read about him was that his family home is called Carrigrohane. Again, who knows if I'm saying that right. Carrigrohane Castle.
Castle?
He's got a castle! What are you doing swindling money from your friends? You have a castle to your name.
I mean, we don't have castles in America.
No, so maybe that's just like every, you know, Tom and Dick and Harry.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the term. Everybody has a mansion.
Lipstick!
Lipstick. So everybody has a mansion, maybe in Ireland. I don't know. I don't know how many mansions. I'm sorry, castles. I don't know how many castles there are in Ireland. I've been to a couple Irish castles. It's pretty cool, but...
Were they inhabited?
No. I mean, I was there. They were... I don't know. Maybe there was like a family wing or something, but... Yeah, so I'm like... If your family has the ability to own a castle... You probably didn't need to swindle all that money. I mean, I don't know how your family dynamic works. Maybe you still have to earn your money, but
you're not just even go stay at the money.
Castle. Like just whatever. Stay at the castle. Anyway, that's my story. Brifna, don't be like Brifna.
Make your own money.
Yeah, make your own money. Don't swindle your friends out of money and call them suckers. I mean, how? What kind of suckers is that?
What a bunch of suckers.
Suckers.
Oh. Not that one.
No, sulkers.
Sulkers. Just a bunch of suckers.
Sulkers. Mark, you just call me Mark Zuckerberg.
Mark Zuckerberg.
That's what I would have called him if I knew him.
These friends I've got, they're just a bunch of Mark Zuckerbergs.
Just a bunch of Mark Zuckerbergs. Thank you so much for listening to our Irish Fraudster Fraud Squad.
The Irish Fraudsters. Episode. Fraud Squad. We should call this one the Fraud Squad.
The Fraud Squad. The Irish Fraud Squad.
Lord Farquaad?
Lord Fraud Squad.
Fraud Squad.
Fraud Squad.
The next episode is going to be great. Okay, yes, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, at Eat Crime, or on Facebook at Eat Crime Pod, or you can email us at podcast, C as in Charles, K as in
Kombucha.
@gmail.com.
Thank you so much for subscribing, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye!